You are worthy, Lord Jesus. I greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. I just appreciate the way the service has been focused really on giving praise to God. And even our Sunday school, one of the words that Paul used was to pattern after what I've been teaching. And today is Father's Day. I don't have a Father's Day message as such, and yet it's a very critical message for all of us, for fathers as well, to lead. And as we continue in Colossians chapter 3, But as I think of patterns, I think just in what my dad did for me. He wasn't perfect, but he left a pattern that led me to knowing Christ, and just an advantage that we have for having godly parents. And there are times in life when we think, you know, Dad's not very smart. I don't know, maybe some of you are at that place right now. And then there's a time where, I mean, earlier in life, Dad knows everything, right? I mean, my dad knows everything. And then there's periods where it kind of changes. But as I think of that thing of patterns, and I think we'll maybe get into that as we think of a few things in Colossians chapter 3. Is Christ my focus? Is that my pattern? Am I seeking Him? I've just entitled the message, Set your affection on things above. And that applies to everyday living. And I know that we have, as we are on this earth, we need to work to make a living. And how do you determine when you do too much making a living versus living for Jesus, to what He calls you to? Just a brief comment on Anna's life. Anna was like some of you said, they're like almost like a mom. And I remember as a teenager being in her house, you could really feel at home with Anna. I would say a kindred spirit. And I thought of a something that I just recently came across that I think Anna had humor. And it was like this: before you judge a man, walk a mile in his shoes. After that, who cares? He's a mile away and you've got his shoes. I don't know how that applies to the message, but I thought of just the humor that Anna had. I think most of you can relate to that. That one of the things that I found, that even in my life, one of the things that sometimes we deal with tragedies and things is that there's humor that kind of keeps us sane, doesn't it? I mean, our focus needs to be on Jesus, of course. But, yeah. For the message this morning, I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Primarily, I'm going to be looking at at the first four verses of Colossians chapter 3, but I thought I would like, for the reading of the scripture here, just I'd like to read verses 1 to 11. And in a scripture like this, it's sometimes hard to know where to stop. It's a lot of good things. From the New King James Version, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, or the King James says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then he goes on in verse 5. It says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. As I think of that first verse, the King James uses the word if, and a lot of other translations would say since you are raised with Christ. And I think that Paul is making it clear to the Colossian people that you are raised with Christ. And I think it's important for us as Christians to know that as well. You are raised with Christ. So how are we raised with Christ? How would you say that we are raised with Christ? I mean, Paul's talking about the physical resurrection of the body of Jesus. How are we as Christians raised with Christ? Somebody have a good answer? No answer's wrong, I guess. But when you think of that, how am I raised with Christ? How am I buried with Christ and raised with Christ? Okay. We're born again, exactly. And we're delivered from guilt and sin. Exactly. The songs we were singing, faultless to stand before the throne. I thought of that as how that applies to the scripture that we have today before us. Do I really, and even as Sam was reading some of those psalms, would I dance before the Lord? And I mean, we're taught not to dance, you know, but if you think about the whole thing of dancing before the Lord, it's like doing something for Jesus, doing something for God with my whole heart. Like the importance of giving God glory and honor. We can worship, we can come to church, but if we have not died, if our sins have not been, if we're not been born again, it is a false, it's a shallow worship, isn't it? We're just doing a form. But if we're truly born again, that's going to affect my desire. And one of the things I think that we have to think about this morning is where is my desire in this life? What are my desires? What are my affections? Or what is my affection? Is it Is it in things above? Where's the balance? And I think that God uses each of us in different ways for different things. The important thing is that I know my heart, my relationship with Jesus is in right standing. So the last message we had was on in chapter 2 about legalism versus holiness. And now we come to the last two chapters of Colossians. And I thought I could maybe look at the first part of chapter 3, where it gets into some practical things, like I read some of those verses. Put to death. It's like putting into action. We can declare and defend the truth, but we must put it to action. We must live it. If we don't live the Christian life, how deep is the things that we declare? In other words, tomorrow morning when I go, am I still saying Christ alone, cornerstone? Is that the thing that drives me in my life? Because I think it's so important. Physical death and resurrection. Okay, this is what Paul was doing. There's a correlation between the physical death and resurrection of Jesus and the spiritual realities that we experience as those who believe. When we come to faith in Jesus, our old nature, our old self, is put to death. Just as Jesus died, we die. In the same way, just as Jesus rose from the dead, we are raised with him. Through faith, we died. Through faith, we are raised to new life in him. Excuse me. Someone said it this way, that there is, when we talk about Christian, becoming a Christian, we talk about being transformed or there's another word. I drew a blank. Can you help me? Oh, no. Regenerating. There's another. Conversion. That's the word I wanted. We are converted. But if you think about it, all of us are converted one way or the other. There is a master that we are converted to follow. We either follow God or we don't like the idea of serving the devil, but it really is. It's the devil in our own self and flesh. We are, the whole thing of us being converted, it's not just the Christians that are converted, but it's like the world is in a stage of being converted to who they are. There was a man who was a Christian who then later became an atheist. And he was talking with a man from Africa or someone who had been at a Billy Graham crusade. And he knew this man. And this man had decided to become a Christian. And the other person said that he had to try to, this was a journalist actually, that he had to try to save this man from that religion. But isn't that interesting that he still had the same, in some ways, the same philosophy that we all need to be saved. It's just that we need to be saved to the right thing, right? Jesus is the only way, and that's the important thing is, the whole thing of us being raised to a new life with Christ. And I thought in some ways it's really fitting even just as I think of the death of Anna, set your sights on the realities of heaven. The New Living Translation says, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. There's something about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God that shows a completion of his work. When we're done working, we go sit. And that doesn't mean Jesus isn't doing anything, but he is seated at the right hand of the Father. But it also says this, that in a place, the thing that you have to realize, our position is so important as we go through life, is that I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. When you're struggling with your own goodness as a Christian, you're tempted to not feel worthy. And who tells you those things? It's not God. It's Satan who tries to discourage you. But it's important for us to realize that our position in Jesus Christ has such a huge bearing on my everyday Christian living. When I realize that what Jesus did for me placed me before God, faultless. And here I am, a person who's still, in some ways, very sinful, because I'm very earthly. But I think that as we go through life, and God gets a greater grip on our life, we learn to submit to his will versus submitting to my will. And I think that's a huge part of it. Romans 6, 1-11 says this. Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our own old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Romans 6, 1-11. And Colossians 2, 12-13 says kind of a similar thing. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. I think growing up in the church, sometimes we don't realize our own wickedness, our own need for salvation sometimes. But we have to realize, in an unsaved state, we are dead because of our sins, because of our sinful nature. And it says in verse 13 there, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. So, perspective, a call to perspective. And I think this is for us as believers. We are joint heirs. We are, and it's important for us to realize that Paul is addressing this specific letter to Christians, those who have already made the decision to follow Christ. The call is to evaluate our affections. And I think we do well to do that from time to time. What is my affection? What are the things that I get stressed about if it was taken away? If something is taken away from us, what would be the thing that I would stress about? And I think that's the uniqueness of a Christian's passing on. There is definitely a sorrow. There's definitely pain. But I'll tell you something. When we know Christ, the Comforter, there is a peace that we can have, even in the process of going through that grief. Doesn't mean we don't have pain. Doesn't mean we don't have sorrow. But there's something about placing my trust in a God who cares and knowing that my world is not done, but that there's a purpose for living because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Ephesians 1:19-23 says this: I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. That is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. To seek those things which are above is a call. And this was a call for the Colossians to set their hearts and orient their minds in light of the ultimate and eternal rule of Christ and to pursue things that are eternal. And I think it wasn't just for them. It was for us. And that's the preciousness of the Word of God that we have. Matthew 6:33 says this, and I think we're all familiar with this: but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Philippians 3:12-16 says this: not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold on that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And I think that's the important part of this. We are not there yet, but we press on. Those of us who are left here on earth are here for a purpose. And our purpose and our goal is to press on toward the goal for the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. Check your mind. What are you focused on? And I think that's, as I study, I think for myself, I have to say that probably the pastor who studies probably benefits more than probably you do, because that to convey that message is sometimes the difficult part is. But check your mind. What are you focused on in verse 2? Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth, or set your affection. And I like the word set because it's a continuous action, isn't it? It's like, okay, my mind is set. Not that I'm stubborn, but it's set. I have a determination to follow Jesus. My mind is set. I like that word, and I like for us to think about that. Where is your affection set? And I think that God reminds us from time to time that we question, we ask, where is my affection really? Do I have a peace? Why don't I have peace? Have I set my affection on something else? But there's something about being a part of the family of God, knowing that Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And to set our minds on the things that are above, not on things on this earth. Heavenly minded. Philippians 3:17-4:1 says this. Brethren, join in following my example. Note, those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. You see the word there again, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. And these scriptures are often used at funerals. I know there's going to be a transformation, the completion of our salvation, when we pass from this life to the next. And I don't know what all that and how that all is going to happen, but I think those are the things that we need to focus on and dwell on and realize that, you know what? The things that we suffer here on earth are for a short period. The days seem long, I'm sure, and especially for those who have lost your partner. I think it's important for you to realize that God has a plan, for all of us to realize that God has a plan, and he wants us to remain true and to realize his love for us. Philippians 4:1 then says this, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And I think of Paul saying that there was a love that he had, and I think that's my prayer as well, that you stand fast in the Lord, remain true, remain faithful. A couple different things. We have our present position. We have a future. And in verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. How is my life hidden with Christ in God? I don't know about you, but I think that's a precious verse. My life is hidden with Christ in God. There's a feeling of being surrounded by the love of God, being placed in his care, hidden. Has the connotation that you can't find it. You can't find something, right? When you're hidden in Christ, it probably should cause us to dance a little bit, right? To cause us to have joy unspeakable. We are hidden in Christ, with Christ, in God, it says. And then he goes on and says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, and I like that phrase as well, who is our life? Is Christ our life? Is Christ your life? What is your life? Is Christ our life? And it says this, and when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And I know that that is the goal of Jesus Christ, restoring the glory that we had, that humans had, when he created man and when he created Adam and Eve. They were perfect, and they had a glory. And the glory was tarnished because of sin. But Jesus came to restore that glory, and I believe it talks about that in 1 Peter. Our future position, even though we have been given a new position in Christ, we are still constrained by the flesh. But this is only temporary. One day, Christ will return, and we will join him in glory. 1 Corinthians 15:50-57. I don't know if I'll read quite all this, but I'm going to read a couple of them. It says that... Yeah, I'm going to read it. Now at this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we live in the light of who we are in Christ and set our minds on things above, it will keep us from loving the world too much and creating idols out of things that ultimately let us down. And if you notice in reading on through chapter 3 there, it talks about idolatry in verse 5. Things that are sinful, that become idols to us, are idolatry. But if we know who we are in Christ and set our minds on things above, it will keep us from loving the world. When we live in the light of who we are in Christ and set our minds on things above, we will be guarded against despair when pressures of life are hard to bear. John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When we live in the light of who we are in Christ and set our minds on things above, we will have strength when the world opposes us and what we believe. Hebrews 12:2-3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Also, if we set our minds on things above, it will motivate us to fight against sin. 1 John 3:2-3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The encouragement for us is this, is that we set our affection on things above, on Christ, our position. Don't ever forget your position as a Christian, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in a day-to-day life. Doesn't mean we won't have heartaches. Doesn't mean we won't have pain. Just, I'd like to close with these verses in the last part of, or verses 14 to 17 in chapter 3. It says this: but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And especially 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The plan of salvation is the greatest good news that we can ever experience. And it's our job as ambassadors for Jesus Christ to share that message with a dying world. And I don't think we're going to be able to do that if our affections aren't set right. If my affection is on building a big empire here on earth, I think I'm going to fail doing what God wants me to do, and that is to share His gospel with others, those who are. And this morning I was reading in Acts 13, we are here to proclaim that through this man Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. And I think that's what we want to proclaim to the world and to each other. Jesus is the one who forgives our sins. And He's going to make us be winners. All of us want to be winners, I believe, in life. We want to be successful. What is success? The success is when Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word that encourages us and challenges us to live a godly life. I pray, God, today that you would just help us to recognize who we are in Christ, and that because of what Christ did for us, we can stand faultless before your throne. Thank you for the avenue of prayer. Thank you for the avenue of forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that you bestow on us. And I just pray a peace on these people who are gathered here this morning. Would you just bless them as they go through this next week, even as we celebrate the life of Anna this week. And I pray that you would be with the Miller family as well and comfort them in this time. Go with us. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.